All right, welcome to Acidic Futures Podcast, Episode 8, with our guest star, Grant Lear, here. How are you doing today?
Eli, I'm doing great, brother. I am doing very well today.
That's great. That's great. So today's Monday. How was your weekend?
Man, it was good. We took a little bit of time. I'm in the Army National Guard, so I had drill this weekend, which was fun, but we learned pretty much last minute that it's not going to be the full weekend. It was only one day. Right. So I had Sunday, I didn't have any plans, and, you know, I went out, visited a few old friends, and then just kind of hung out with the girl, and that was really about it. Pretty chill, just kind of relaxing, and very much needed, I'll say.
Right, yeah, well, that's awesome. Thank you for your service, honestly.
Oh, thanks for support, man.
My original plan in high school was to actually join the Marines, because my uncle or my cousin was in the military, and my great grandpa was in World War II in the Navy.
Hell yeah.
So I always figured I'd do that, but then I kind of found out about weed and Doritos, and I got into filmmaking, so it went downhill.
I like that, bro.
Yeah, but weed and Doritos. Honestly, filmmaking is definitely what I found out that I just love to do. I mean, back in the day, there was always the recorders for the war, which I always thought was crazy. I would never be able to go into the war and just record there. That was always crazy to me.
Dude, think about that, man. That would be a wild job. Like, and I know they still do stuff like that with the press and stuff, you know, overseas. And yeah, that would be a wild job to have. I don't think those guys can carry guns either. So you literally just
really.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure press can't carry guns over there.
That's pretty crazy to me. I think I need one. I definitely feel like I need one.
Dude, me too. Yeah, people who do that. And I mean, like, obviously you're not out on your own. Like, you're usually with like a squad or somebody, but like, even that, dude, I don't know.
You don't want to be walking around in those areas with nothing, just a camera. Yeah, right.
Hell no.
But so you are the vice president of the Empathy firm. Previously known as the Empathy Digital Market. Would you like to tell us more about your company?
Yeah, man. So me and my business partner started this company back in, probably 4.5-ish years ago now. We were both in college at the time. And since then, you know, what we've done has changed a few times. When we started, we were doing like web design. And the reason we started our company, I'll start from the very beginning, I guess, it's because we've always been into entrepreneurship. Our father was an entrepreneur. And I should mention, before my business partner was my business partner, he was my brother. I grew up with him. We went to college together, and we talked a few times about, you know, actually wanting to go out and do something for ourselves. And he had an internship where he was running Facebook ads for a company. And finally, you know, we reached out to this guy who was a pretty big name in the space that we followed pretty closely. And he agreed to mentor us. I'm like, dude, that's sick. So obviously we're like, okay, like, let's get it kicked off. Like, I think that we'll have a really good kind of head start with having somebody's advice of like where we want to be. So yeah, that'd be awesome. We would go into the this building on campus. We went to college together. And we go in there probably like 6 or 7 at night. And we have to basically break in. It was almost always locked, or like we'd find a way into the place. But man, we'd stay there from like 6 to 4 in the morning. And we would do that for a long time. Like, we had that cycle going until the website was up, our scripts were done, like our fulfillment stuff was all taken care of. And then we got out there and we were getting ready to, you know, start selling and start, you know, helping people out. And that didn't happen, bro. Like, not a chance. Like, we went so long without making a sale. And then, you know, transitioning on through the years, we've always done press and PR, not to the extent we do it today as we did back then, but today we have some really crazy connections that I'm super happy that we have. But what we did basically was we saw that there was a pretty big need for credibility, SEO, and just like social proof all in one package. And we kind of threw that in with press and PR, and like, I don't know, kind of encompass all of them, and I could get more into it, but we really like press. We like what it does for people. We like what it does for ourselves also. But we started to go the press route. A few more mentors we had, you know, since then. But man, today that's our big ones. We do like getting people into Forbes, Entrepreneur, USA Today, Vogue, GQ, Influencive, Market Watch, Yahoo Finance. We got a huge list of those publications. We get people verified on like Instagram, stuff like that now too. So man, we even have a joint venture publishing books. So we've done a few books, but that's like kind of the, it wasn't as in detail as it could be, but that's like the very broad brushstroke of like how we started and kind of where we are today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, honestly, I feel like it'd be pretty crazy to have those connections for my own company. That'd be great. Like I've gotten to work with people, you know, I personally am interested in. That's what I really love about a podcast is because I'm not like the biggest people person, but I really do love to be able to kind of just put everyone's work out there so everyone can see it and everything. That's always what it's been about. And press, honestly, like I'd have to say, press is one of the most important things for a company. If you have no press, no publication, you're not going to get anything out there. So honestly, places like you and what you're doing, honestly, I think it's quite great for everybody else. Like it definitely helps.
Dude, thank you. And like on top of that too, like I said this before, I firmly like stand by this. If I was to need to start my business over tomorrow from scratch with like no testimonials, no case studies, like nothing like that, brand new business, the first thing I would do is I'd start getting some press on my new company. Like first thing I would do before I even looked at like paying for leads or like doing any lead gen stuff. Cause think of it like this, Eli, right? I want to build up that skyscraper, but if I don't have a good foundation, I'm going to have to stop when I'm at like 4, 7, or 8 and go back down and like fix the foundation. I might have to take a few steps back. You know, I want to make sure that's solid. So that way, when I pay for leads or when I pay for whatever the case is, they convert at a higher rate because I have all these, you know, people talking about me, my Google stuff's indexing on Google. So when people search me, they see Forbes, they see other stuff like that. That is literally like, I'm glad you said that because that's exactly what I do, dude. I think that's, press is so underrated for a lot of companies and it makes a huge difference. I love seeing what press does.
Oh yeah. No, press is so big. A lot of people who they'll try and do their own press, which is always good. I did my own press. It's always important, but if you're able to get any company out there that will do a partnership or anything, it is always good to have something behind your back to back you. But so you have your, the empathy was quoted on creating industry leaders thoughtfully and effectively. Would you like to give a bit more insight on that?
Yeah, man. So training industry leaders thoughtfully and effectively, right? Like there's a few things to break down in there. And the first thing is like, what's an industry leader? Or like a better question, how do you become one? Like, how do you become an industry leader? And think about this, man. Like, I'm just going to use this as an example. If Jeff Bezos was somewhere in a cave and he did all the stuff he did today, but he never had any eyes on him. He never had any, like, you know, really people talking about him or even knowing who he was. If I said Jeff Bezos and someone's like, who the hell is that? I've never heard that guy before. You know, an industry leader, a lot of the times it comes down to just people knowing you, like the spotlight on you, volume, like your voice being amplified. It's visibility at the end of the day. Now, obviously you have to be doing something noteworthy, right? You're not going to become an industry leader, sitting around, you know, drinking soda, whatever the case is, but obviously you need to have something going for yourself, which I know a lot of us who own businesses do. We like to stay humble. That's the other thing I like about becoming that industry leader is you can let other people brag for you so you can stay humble. And I think that's a pretty cool, like, theory there. So beyond that, now we could talk about how to create industry leaders and how that happens, because you can do it. And it's actually pretty, I don't want to say simple process, but the steps are there, right? It's not a lot of guesswork. We pretty much know how to do it. But then like doing it thoughtfully and effectively, like that's some other things, because we could go out and we could get a bunch of press, get people on a bunch of podcasts, you know, verify them on social media, is like all that stuff. And on paper, that's amazing. That's a really, really, you know, impressive digital footprint for people to look up. But then, man, if you're not going in, you're not like keeping those things current, you're not like making sure that they actually have engagement on their social medias, you're not going and helping with like the supporting details behind like the main the main picture, that's not very thoughtful, right? That's not very like impactful. And don't get me wrong, it's 50-50, because after, you know, we do what we do for the first part of everything, like it has to be a team collaboration, because we need them as, you know, bought in and as involved as we are, because otherwise, I mean, the dream's not going to work, right? We need all parties to be like about it, for lack of a better word. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that quote up, because that's one that, I don't know, the industry leader is something that's really unique. Another like word for it, thought leader, is another one that we use pretty often. And for me, they're sort of interchangeable. There's some differences between the two, but yeah, man, it's a fun process to see people go from where they were to where they are now. But more importantly, like how the connection of their goals fits into that. Cause now like they're thinking about retiring, they're thinking about doing something else, they're thinking about exiting their business, even, right? Selling it eventually. Like it's cool how much easier a lot of that stuff makes it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. It's always good to be able to have, you know, like I said, someone backing you up, or even being able to have your name out there anywhere. And like, you know, people I've worked with, or even, you know, not through press and everything, but like people who I know who are different recorders and everything, and I got them into filming. It was always that, you know, I told them, you know, let me know when you have new content, you know, whatever you're recording, I'd love to see it. You know, I'll always be able to see your work and everything. But if I don't go and like, you know, let them know, hey, I'm still interested in your work, they're not going to feel like they should give me something back. So I always need to give them a reason to actually come back. So I definitely think that's one of the biggest things. Yeah.
I like that. No, I like that a ton. I think that's spot on.
Yeah, thank you. And so, like you said, you were doing the publicity and everything. How do you publicize or get others to publicize the companies that you work with?
Oh, dude, So that's a cool question. So obviously, we leverage our connections with press to get people featured in that stuff. We have some very creative ways of outreaching people who are out of our league, out of other people's league, you know, out of whoever's league. And I say that in air quotes, if you guys are listening, no one's truly out of anybody's league. You know, it just matters about how you approach and like what you lead with, because a lot of the times people aren't going to want to talk to you if you send them a cold email and say, hey, I'm great, hire me, essentially. Right. Like it's all about that creative outreach. It's all about like finding a way for yourself and your company or the people you're working with to stand out to whoever you want to connect them with. And then once you figure that out, man, you can pretty much replicate that, and you can do it a few different ways, makes minor tweaks if you think something might work a little bit better. But so obviously we leverage our connections to get people in a press. We hook them up with people that they want on their podcast, or people that they want to be on, you know, the person's podcast.
Right.
We do that stuff. We do some of the social media verification stuff. That's very fun as well, because not only does that give you the blue check on, let's just say, Instagram, we'll look at that one. My biggest thing, and why I'm so excited for it, because we're getting it now. We haven't had it forever, and we were thinking in the team meeting, I'm like, dude, it's kind of hypocritical that like none of us are verified. We should probably like do that. So yeah, that's coming. That should be here in a month or so. But with that said, that blue check is now supporting those first two efforts, because now you have that extra credibility. You have, like, when people are researching, they're seeing that, but more importantly, you have proximity to anybody else with that blue check. Because when you send out a DM to somebody with a blue check and you have the blue check, you're going right to their primary inbox. So now if there's somebody in your space that you really want to talk to, you can send a message right to them. It's going to land right in their inbox, and they're going to see it. And they're going to look at you as more of a peer, because you are on, you know, the platform, the same rank or the same level, however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
But it sounds silly, but there is like a ton of truth to that, man. It's like there a little seal of approval almost, which is funny. But yeah, so we do that. That's how we leverage our stuff. And something else you said, you were talking maybe about earned media, which I think is awesome, dude. Yeah, earned media is huge. Now, earned media is harder to do, right? Because you need to have something interesting enough. You have to have the angles. You have to have enough people talking about you in order to earn media. You can earn media on your own. Transparently, you absolutely can. There's some pretty good ways of doing that. It's time consuming. Because we've like, you know, because you did some of that stuff yourself, you said, and it takes a lot of time. It will pay off. Like, you will get some pretty cool features, but I don't know, for a lot of people, I recommend maybe focusing time elsewhere and having, you know, whether it's us or somebody else, a press company or a PR company, go in and actually do a lot of that stuff for you. And here's the other thing, man. No one wants to talk about you until other people are talking about you too. So it's like, you're going to start to see when you get more press on yourself, more publications are going to come and pick you up. And that's actually a goal of anybody we work with, is to have them start earning media, which might sound stupid because then it would replace us, but dude, that's fine. Like, I care more about somebody actually gaining that traction and seeing that full like celebrity halo, or that getting that buzz, getting that search engine optimization, getting that social proof, than we do keeping them on for another, you know, 2 months or whatever the case is. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because earned media is one that people often overlook or forget about or try to downplay, but it's definitely valid, dude. You can earn some sick media.
Oh yeah, no, it definitely is. You know how you're saying, like, with the leagues and everything, and like ranks, and like the funny thing is, you know, there might not be like set, but it's so true, because I mean, our third episode and our first guest was Tommy Chong. You know, I grew up watching Tommy Chong. Never in my life would I think that I'd interview him. And like, it's weird to interview people who I'm interested in and like not geek out, because I'm so like I just, it's kind of crazy. It's always weird, but that was pretty hard for me to actually realize the fact that I'm technically on the same level as any of these other people. I just don't have the connections they do.
Bro, that was spot on. Like, yeah, exactly. On paper, like, Tommy Chong's out of my league, he's out of your league. Like, on paper, right? He's a big dude. But yeah, then look at you. Like, you just interviewed him. You just had that connection with him. That's exactly what I was saying before, dude. That's spot on. That's a really good way of putting it into like real life.
Right. Yeah. And so segment two, sidecasts. So I know you have, you know, your podcast, The Point of Convergence. It's a business and business management marketing. So what do you mainly try and talk about and produce on your podcast?
Yeah. So, you know, that's one of my favorite things that we're doing right now. I really like that podcast because we have been talking to some kick-ass people. Really like high caliber people on that podcast. And it's cool because we focus on business owners, typically in a few different industries. To be honest, we don't focus just on one industry, because I think that there's so much crossover from different industries into, let's say, my industry of digital marketing. Like, I've learned so much from guys who run huge private investigation firms, guys who are lawyers, guys who are interior remodelers. Like, all that stuff eventually you'll pick up these knowledge, and a lot of the mindset too helps you kind of realize, you know, some things that you might be missing. But on there, man, we really just kind of break into people's stories, how they grew their business, you know, some advice that they'd give themselves. Like, I like to keep it pretty free form, so we don't necessarily have like a checklist of stuff. But the biggest thing on that podcast that I aim to do every single episode is deliver implementable takeaways. So after people are done with the podcast, they can go and they can listen and they can say, okay, this was a great podcast. I want to go out and do XYZ, because that was the implementable takeaways. Those are things I can actually do and be better for. So even my intro says, like, if you're not implementing knowledge, it's truly worthless. Like, you could know everything in the world, like every single thing in the world, but if you never do any of it, or you never like do anything with it, you're the exact same as some dude who doesn't even have a brain, right? Because you guys are doing the same thing.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, no, that's very, very true, truthfully. And so how long have you been doing the podcast?
God, man. Oh, way longer than its track record on because, man, we didn't launch the first episode until I think we had like 50 or so episodes recorded already, because we wanted to basically just have it run out on autopilot and kind of, you know, be automated, so we don't have to think too much about it. But shit, dude, probably a year and a half, maybe around then is when I first started doing the actual interviews. And then obviously, you know, the editing and all that stuff takes time. And yeah, we just wanted to wait until I had a pretty good bank and then just roll it out. And I'm still doing podcasts today. You know, we'll come in much less frequently, I'll say that. It's a lot harder now to schedule time out for podcasting, but I do really enjoy it. And when I see people that absolutely rock and need to be interviewed and need to have their reach extended to more people, like, I'll drop everything for that, man, because that's huge. I love providing value through that podcast.
Yeah. So, and you said that you've worked with other podcasts for everything. So how does that differ between your the other companies you work with and podcasts specifically?
Yeah. And by that, do you mean like the companies we help grow their podcasts, or like?
Yeah, because you know how some people, you know, may have a company without a podcast, but then a company does have a podcast. Do you work with them just solely on their podcast or on both their projects?
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good question. And I don't know, man, it comes down to like the goals of the person, right? Because if they're looking to build their personal brand, for instance, we see this a lot. If somebody has a pretty successful business and they want to exit relatively soon, next 5-10 years, right? That's relatively soon. Then yeah, building that personal brand is pretty important because you're going to exit. Your business is going to be left back here. And obviously you still have that track record, but now like people are going to know you. And it kind of kills two birds with one stone because when you're the CEO of the company, they know the company name and they'll know your name if you're personal branding. If you're just doing company branding, they're not really going to know who you are. You know, if that's your strategy, that's cool. I'm a huge fan of personal brand because not only will it help you in that company, it'll help you after your exit. It'll help you just out in like getting speaking engagements, doing all that other stuff. Like is really what we try to focus on for people is that personal brand, because that is where you get the most value. With that too, though, there's some things where like, I see people doing weird stuff and they're like, for good instance, like Instagram, right? Like people have a straight up business Instagram with like no pictures of themselves or like no pictures of, you know, their personal life. Like, I don't know, man, I'm a huge fan of mixing in personal stuff with business, on a business profile. And it's something too, that like, I feel like so many of us now have dropped that like professional, image that I think a lot of people who don't necessarily know exactly what running a business is like, think running a business is like. And people don't want to talk to people like that. I mean, I know I don't, like, I know a lot of people we work with don't. And, you know, that's the thing, like keeping it laid back and just honestly, no bullshit, right? Like doing what we say and not trying to put on like an act or like a different like business face. That's huge. And so people through personal brand get to see that out of CEOs more. And that's obviously much easier to connect with.
With me personally, like I was never, you know, big into Instagram, and I kind of regret that because, you know, personally, no one knows me, like, you know, besides my friends who I grew up with. And, you know, on my Instagram, I have like maybe 8 pictures because I never went out and did that, but I really wish I had. And even with my company, because people will make a company, but it will be nothing about who they actually are. They did it for the career and the fact that they are able to make, you know, a good amount of money, which is amazing. You always want to be able to do that. But with me, you know, it's a film production company. That is what I love to do. I don't want to do anything else. So with my personal Instagram, I want to, you know, cover it with work I've done with people and, you know, my my filming alone. And even with the business Instagram, we started a streaming channel because my friends, they're big into games and everything, and so we're trying to kind of collaborate and get into other people's, you know, genre and what they'd like to do. And so it's kind of hard to have, you know, all these different subjects for one company, and then, you know, me, because we're very small. So there's like me, who I run the website, like the Facebook, the podcast and everything. I do that and I absolutely love it. It's everything I want to do, but it's very hard to have a personal branding when you literally don't have anything posted as personal. When you don't have personal, you can't have people know who you are, what you do, because then all they see is you search Acidic Film Productions up. You'll find me. You'll find me in my LinkedIn and you'll find me attached to it. You will not find anything about me though. So no one's going to know about me. They can't check me. I have no track record, which I really wish I had gotten a track record, but I don't. So people are taking a big risk on me. And when they do, I appreciate it. And they definitely get what they pay for.
And dude, you know what they say? I love this saying, best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago. Second best time is today. So not too late for that stuff, man. Like, you can obviously still start getting out there and like putting it down, and it's just about doing it, man. That's one of the, I will say this, like, if there's one takeaway from this podcast that I want people to know and I want people to like truly hear, do not wait for something to be perfect. Just go out and implement, whether that's you not knowing how to do Facebook ads, but you want to run Facebook ads, just start running Facebook ads. Don't worry about how to convert them. Like, well, don't worry about anything else, because if you do that, I promise you, you are almost certainly never going to truly do it, right? Start doing something, even if it's imperfect. Imperfect action right now is better than perfect action 2 months down the road. in my mind. That's how we grew. And I've seen that with our own business, is just through implementing, through doing it, through not waiting. Like if you want to do something, or if you want, you know, that like you need to do something to grow your business, just do it. Don't wait for it to be exactly perfect. Don't wait to be the perfect time, because it's never going to be the perfect time. Just go out, make it happen, and refine as you go.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's because it's definitely best to, you know, like with if you're building something, you know, you have a prototype, you build a prototype, you know, and you work upon it. You don't go, this is what we have. All right, now this is already finished. And then you kind of just keep inching across. You know, you want something that you can actually build for while there's a foundation. And that's the biggest part, because like with me, you know, Facebook ads, I don't like really doing my business with Facebook, truthfully. Like I'm not a huge fan of the Facebook ads and how it runs and their algorithm and everything. But when I first started, I was learning about how to control my ads, the diversity of it and everything. It's almost like, it's kind of like they're giving you what they want, and kind of they're kind of just giving you what you think that you need, but they are not going to do what you actually need to. Because when you go on Facebook, you set it up, you pay for your ad, you put it out there. They're not personally, you know, saying, hey, you know, here, these are the people you should do. This is your demographic. But then there's, you know, places like you and everyone else who will actually personally go do it, rather than it being self-earned media through, you know, someone else's name. So I definitely think it's better to not use Facebook when you've gone further along.
Yes. And if you are going to run Facebook ads, I will save you just a ton of time. Hire somebody. If you're trying to learn it yourself and you have no idea, your time can be better spent other places. Hire somebody, but more importantly, hire somebody that you vet. Make sure that they're been around for a while and they've been doing it, because digital marketing has a very low barrier to entry. Because of that, you're going to see a lot of people who are doing Facebook ads for relatively cheap, but holy shit, you will feel that with your results, and you will feel that with your money that you're spending. Make sure you're actually looking for somebody good, look at reviews, testimonials, that kind of stuff. But I know that we're not talking about Facebook ads, but I just want to throw that out there, because we used to do Facebook ads. We don't anymore. There's been so much that's changed. And I think that for a lot of people, there are better uses of the marketing spend, but
it definitely is. No, there definitely is, for sure. And so so segment three, I call it that business life bullshit. So what would you have to say is next for the Empathy Firm? You know, what is your guys', is you guys have any big plans or milestones to get to your company to currently?
Man, for sure. For sure. So we got a few. You know, we got like end of year goals, we got like 5-10 year goals as well. Like, and I think that's fun to do, and even less of a necessary goal. And something else that's helped us out a ton is, like, I don't know if you've heard of vision boards before. It's basically putting stuff you want up on a board that you see every day. I got mine back there, and it doesn't even need to be like physical stuff, right? It could be nature, right? I have picture of trees and stuff. I want to spend more time outside, do that, you know? But in the grand scheme of things, that's some like more mindset focused stuff. I mean, Empathy Firm, man, we're looking to decrease the amount of people we're working with, because now we've got a pretty decent number of clients. We still want to be able to help them, but more importantly, I really, 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 really like helping newer entrepreneurs. That's where I get really excited, especially like younger entrepreneurs, because when I was in college, I started my business, as did my brother, and, you know, definitely younger entrepreneurs, there's a lot of stuff, and I really resonate with those people. So I never want to close my doors to those people. We are always, always able to help them. But like recently, you know, we've been working with bigger companies, corporations, stuff like that. And it's the corporate world's cool, because they have good ad spend and they see the value in marketing a lot of the times. But there's just a lot of red tape to go around for corporate stuff. So that's like something kind of a love hate with it. And like some companies, we just find that like that's not worth the hassle of everything going through all that stuff and introduced to all these different people. People leave mid project, come in. It's kind of nuts. But my goal is to really be helping those big companies for sure, because we can do a lot with a good, healthy ad spend. Like we can make a lot happen with that. But you can also make a lot happen with a little too, which is why I really like helping those like newer entrepreneurs, younger, smaller companies. Like that's really where like my heart's at. And that's like what I really appreciate when I see people out there like making that jump and doing what they want to do and actually implementing it and not, you know, waiting for the perfect time, just going out and figuring it out. But God, for those newer guys, get a mentor. Holy shit. Like that's going to save you so much time and money. I swear.
Seriously. I mean, we are a very small production company. I mean, it's honestly, it's just filled with like me and, you know, the people I grew up with. And so it was so when I first started it, it was pretty much just out of the blue. I came up with this movie idea because I've always been in movies. I was the kid who, when there was a movie, I'd read the back of the fucking the disc case and I'd read everything. Why it was rated this, you know, who made it, why they made it, everything. And then I realized, you know, that's not actually that far of possibility. You know, everyone's like, you can't join the NFL, you know, the MLB, look at how many people fail. You can't be an actor, you know, to all these people. And it's kind of like, who do you think you are to tell somebody that? And then meanwhile, I came up with this movie idea and it's about a schizophrenic teen who doesn't realize he's schizophrenic until he ends up taking realized it, and one of his friends, he ends up taking his medication and he's gone. He disappears because it was hallucination the whole time. And so that was just to me, like it was a really weird mind trip of a movie. And so I was going to pay my friend Jake, who I had known for a while, a couple $100 to film this movie with me because I want to make it worth his time. And it kind of just escalated into all of my friends, you know, we've always had a love for film. And so I was like, all right, fuck it. We're going to just make this company instead. And I made a website, we made a podcast, and we kind of like out of nowhere, we blew up for like this instant. And it was kind of crazy because there's just these weird little spurts, but it's really weird to go from a very, very small company to being recognized. And then, you know, just kind of staying on this line, because I used to be down here and you get put up here. It's very, very weird to switch levels, especially in your life when you're starting a business, because we don't work with anyone, you know, extremely big or anything like whatsoever. We've gotten to work with Tommy Chong, but that was an interview. You know, I didn't get to work with him. That'd be great and all, but it's very hard for these small companies like me and everything to actually get a name out there without any track record. Because like, if I went up to Paramount and I was like, hey dude, like, you know, I want to make this movie, blah, 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 they're gonna be like, no, we don't know you at all. But I personally think the people who are, you know, trying to get their name out and everything, like the smallest people, those people you need to look for, because chances are they have the newest talent, the newest degrees and everything. Everyone wants, you know, experience. And the older people, great, that's great, you know, get your experience. But the newer people are the people who are technologically savvy, like me. Like, you know, I know my technology, all my friends do. So it's weird to go, you know, from a small business and going up to a big business. And so how would you suggest, you know, for small business owners, how do they kind of incline into a bigger rate?
Dude, that's you made an awesome point there. First of all, like, never ever let somebody tell you that your lack of experience or your age is a reason not to do business with them, because that is your greatest weapon, right? If you want somebody to get you the same results you've already been getting for the last 10 years, go with somebody who has the track record, go with someone who has the certifications, go with that person. If you want somebody who grew up with this shit and they've been doing this shit for, you know, basically their whole life, and they have this new insight, they have this different way of looking at it, that's where you come in. I can be that new sharp blade. Like, I have tools, I have tricks. Like, we are going to make this work. I grew up here. I know how to speak this language. This isn't my second language. This is number one. But so basically, sorry to tangent there. Your question
small businesses, how they kind of, you know, transition from being a smaller business up into a bigger one, having a larger scale, a larger variety. How do you, you know, accommodate for that?
Man, yeah, that's a really good question. Something one of our mentors told us that I did not listen to the first time, which I wish I would have. Scale when you feel like you're at like 70%. Don't wait until you need to scale. Scale when you're at like 70, when you're like, damn, pretty consistently busy and you know, I'm having a lot of like work, I'm having a lot of appointments. Just scale at that level, because it's gonna hit you quick when you're like, fuck, I'm at 100%, like I can't do anything else, like fuck, I need to hire somebody, you know, that's gonna hit you. But if you set that up at 70, like then you're you're good. Growing pains are not going to be as bad. Obviously, you'll still need to train somebody to come on. Like, but that's the thing, man. Virtual assistants are absolutely amazing for people wanting to scale their business into like a, you know, from the small to mid-level. Virtual assistants are great. And if anyone knows anything about VAs, they're kind of hit or miss. We've had some amazing ones. We've had some, you know, ones that unfortunately didn't work out for us. I'm sure they're amazing VAs, but they just weren't like a good fit for our culture. With that though, one of my good friends, Omir Block, he's so smart for doing this. He started a agency that basically helps connect VAs that are vetted and like quality VAs with companies. So you guys can give that guy a look up on Instagram. It's Omir Block, but he's really good at that. And I would not be shouting him out unless I truly believe that VAs are like one of the biggest building blocks that you can do, because not only does it allow you to send out more emails, manage different social channels, you know, do that stuff, send out a lot of cold outreach, edit podcasts, whatever the case is, it allows you to have more time in your day, right? You're essentially adding 5 or 6 hours to your day now, because you don't have to do that stuff. You don't have to do that every week. You don't have to do that every day. You have more time then to focus on scaling your business instead of worrying about the day-to-day more mundane operations.
I don't know what happened. I can hear you, but your audio just dropped a little.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no.
Test.
Completely.
Can you?
Yeah, like I can barely hear you. Really? Hang on 1 second. Let's see. What if?
Any better?
All right. Well, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, you're extremely quiet for some reason. Like out of nowhere, your mic just dropped. And I don't know why. What just happened? Interesting. Weird. Here. I mean, it should be fine. I'll try my volume up. I'll try and turn my volume up.
Okay.
Because I can hear you. It's just
for
some reason it's very quiet. I don't know if it's my device or if it's Zoom, but like it feels like if you had a cloth completely tied around your mic.
Damn.
Yeah, it's all right, it's probably just my phone, but it's not horrible.
I'll speak louder then. I'll speak a little louder.
All right, that works. So all right. So I was personally wondering if you've ever worked with other film production companies before with your with everything, and how would that work with publication? Because you know, film production companies, they kind of go about a certain way.
Dude, hell yeah. We work with a few video production companies right now. And you know, I think you'll probably understand this, but in the video production industry, a lot of people start with like wedding videos and stuff like that. That's how a lot of people start. And that's great, but I know a lot of people don't want to stay there. That's not why they started a video production company. That's not where they want to stay. However, it's pretty consistent work, and that can very well keep your business afloat. That can pay the bills. And that's something ultimately that supports your more creative endeavors, like movies, you know, feature films, stuff like that, that people want to do. Which a lot of the times I see as the case. So how do publications fit in with, you know, let's say scaling from that small to mid-size video production company, maybe offloading some of that wedding footage to another team and doing that stuff. So basically what we do a lot of the times when we have somebody in that situation is it's great. Like for wedding stuff, you can, or I'll stop using that example in case that doesn't resonate with anybody. That's just one. But if you're doing like real low budget, and when I say low budget, I mean you're not making a lot of money. It's not necessarily a bad video. You're just not making the profit you should, right? And I see that a lot with people, is they way undercharge themselves because they're new, because they don't have the experience, because they don't have the track record, the testimonials. Yeah. Press is quite literally a shortcut to that. Now, obviously, it would be great if you had some demo reels or if you had something so people can see what you can do, but also like don't sit there and tell people why you're great. Have Forbes do that for you. Have another publication do that for you. And more importantly, don't even push that down somebody's, you know, throat. Literally say, hey, look, just give my name a search on Google. I know that I'm relatively new in this space and I've shot a few projects, which you've seen if you've sent them the homework to, you know, learn more about you, but just give my name a Google, and then we can jump back in and like just let me know what you find there, and then you'll have articles indexing for you. And then the cool thing is they can read those articles for themselves, and that's not you telling it to them, right? That's entrepreneur telling it to them, right? So now that's their truth. That's something they discovered for themselves, and you just went from that new company who's, you know, trying to shoot like $500, you know, commercials or whatever the case is. I'm trying to use different examples. To somebody who is featured in Forbes as seen on Entrepreneur. And now you have the ability to work with that company for video production. Like that is a totally different frame. Absolutely changes how people look at you. So it's more than just like, oh yeah, I've been in Forbes for why, I don't know. Like you can, and that's a cool thing with us too. We can kind of orchestrate a more creative angle to get your true goal of, you know, whatever the case is, changes for everybody, but we can do that within the actual publication. So it basically makes you more established. It raises your profits because you are now looked at as a higher ticket company, even though you're the same size as you are without the publications. It's just more about visibility. And like we talked about in the beginning, man, that's what a lot of this stuff comes down to. And it's so funny how big of a difference that can make when people implement it the right way. The other thing is implementing it the right way, sending it out through emails, having people do homework on you before you hop on a call, bunch of that stuff.
Yeah, that is great. Because, you know, I haven't, you know, had a chance to be able to work with people like the way I wish I was able to, which obviously makes a lot of sense. I mean, we're only 6 months into even being a company, but so I was kind of wondering, you know, everyone has a bit of a plan growing up and everything. And mine was always, I could tell I was not put on this world for, you know, a normal job, I guess you'd say, you know, what would you say is, you know, around high school or everything, what would you say you really wanted to do? You know, even if it's publicizing or getting people's work out there, even if it's simple as just helping people, what was your baseline of what you wanted to do, which, you know, presumably got you to where you are today?
Back in high school, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea, bro. I didn't know what I truly wanted to do. I probably knew longer, but I didn't really know until college. You know, I joined an organization there that was like a business organization because one of my friends was in it. And I was like, yeah, I'll check it out, man. And I kind of fell in love with it since then. And, you know, then the business came about and it just kind of was like the perfect timing in my life. But truly, Eli, if you would have talked to me like 4 or 5 months before we started the business, I would tell you, I don't know. And that's fine. I have a lot of people that I talk to who are like, you know, going into college, like from high school, they don't know what they want to do. And like, they think that they need to figure that stuff out. Obviously it's good to know or have ideas. But like straight up, I know so many people who really didn't know what they wanted to do. And that's the thing about, you know, college, even though college is not applicable at all for what I'm doing today, just straight up, it's not. But I got a lot out of college because I got time to, you know, live on my own for the first time. I got time to find myself. I got time to make friends. I got time to do all that stuff. And truly, I do think that helped me develop more as a person and fall into this role that I think somehow I always knew I was going to do something like this. And, but yeah, man, I absolutely had no idea throughout high school and a good amount of college.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you know, cause when I was in high school, which, you know, wasn't very long ago, but, I'm like, your career was so weird because I grew up, you know, I was born in 2003. So growing up, there's a lot of changes, you know, I was kind of born like in the middle of things, you know, because for one, this is just an example, you know, like with weed. I grew up, everyone was telling me, don't do it. It's very bad. And then I'm 10, 11, 13 years old, and now there's new products being advertised and everything. It's very weird to be in this generation alone because I grew up like a 90s kid, for one. I grew up getting kicked outside. I didn't have like all the technology and everything. If NASCAR was on, I was told to get the fuck outside until dark. And then he's like, why are you still outside? It's fucking dark out. That's how my childhood was. And it was great because as I got older, I got to, you know, do all the things at an applicable age because everyone rushes into their career and everything from high school and college. I think it's terrible to put these kids, these, you know, 15, 16, 17 year old kids, and you say, you know, these are 4 years of your life. You know, you have to pass these classes in a certain way. You have to know what you want to do and go to college. You can't, you won't even let a kid vote. How are you going to let them, you know, choose what they actually want to be? And I think, you know, I didn't get to go to college. I always wanted to go to college. I grew up thinking that was something I'd do, you know, move into a dorm with my friends and all that. It wasn't something that happened. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, as long as you don't even have a plan, but you realize that you're going to do what you got to do when you have to do it, that's all it takes. All it takes is, you know, being able to have the actual drive to do anything, whether it's fucking go out and put a job application in because you don't have a job or something like that. It's easy as that. And I think people kind of disregard the talent kids actually have because they're making them, you know, act like adults when they're still children. And I think if you know, all these younger kids got a chance to go out and just do things in the real world and weren't treated like, you know, kids and infants when they're 17, 18 years old, trying to be an adult, you know, and I think that's probably the biggest part is that the newer generation actually needs to kind of take a lead a little bit, you know, because all these people, they're losing their way. The world has completely lost the way. So I think it's very weird because even with film production companies and everything and movies I watch, all the movies and everything, you know, they take, you know, a year and a half now to make. It's mainly CGI. It's all for money. I want to make a movie because when I grew up watching a movie, I'd sit there and it'd feel literally like I got sucked into a different reality. I couldn't care less right now. I'm not making very much money off my company, but I am more than happy to do so. And I think that's probably the biggest thing. Because even like you said, I don't know. I wouldn't know if I was going to do this company or anything. You know, right before I decided to do my film production company, my plan was to pass high school and go to college. And then within an idea, one idea of a movie, my life completely changed, and that's all it takes. If you have one idea, fucking do it. We have dreams for a reason because it's actually reality. So
I like that.
I definitely
man.
Say that's
like
probably
that.
One of the biggest things. Just do it.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. Like implementation. And I like that, man, because, you know, a lot of people, I think when you start to switch your mindset, it's funny how quickly things shift along with it. Even looking at like example, like a lot of people like, talk about jobs, like jobs they want, jobs they get, whatever the case is, like talking about 60K a year or something like that, which you can live off of. Absolutely. Like 100% you can. But like shift that to a month. Like think about like what you want to make a month, right? Like that shorter time window, it usually makes you want to earn more. And like, that's something so small that like has literally helped us grow so much because we started looking at like setting those monthly goals and realizing that stuff isn't as crazy as a lot of people think. Like once you start to set your mind and you truly believe in something, it will become a reality if you keep working no matter what. There's such a high turnover rate in entrepreneurship. Don't fucking quit. I mean, it's never going to be truly easy. It's always going to be challenging. There's going to be different challenges every single day. You're going to lose motivation. You're going to gain motivation. You're going to be doing really well. You're going to not be doing really well. It's a very volatile field, but stay the course. And if you do anything for long enough, you will be successful at it.
Yeah, seriously. It really is kind of crazy how, you know, you can go from, you know, being someone who apparently has no track record. And let's say you work on one movie. Right. And we'll say this movie flops is worse than Heartbreak Hotel from back in the day. You know, like I'm going to have a very bad track record. That's from one movie. No, that's not extremely fair considering I'm one person on a team of 30 plus people. You know, a lot of the times, you know, people who are in film, or even, you know, scoring, you know, doing the things for music and everything, everyone is always judged in a group effort. And that's why, personally, I want to keep my company smaller. I am not into the big, giant sets and everything, you know, like, but because it's very weird to think about me being CEO or, you know, vice president or anything of something as big as Paramount. I could never see that. Personally, I don't really want to have to do that. I want to be able to contribute, you know, to media and to people, because people don't realize how important movies kind of are, you know, because without movies and TV, we wouldn't be doing anything through our day besides, you know, going outside, and everyone needs to go outside. But for some reason, and I really don't know what it is, and it could be, you know, personally me, but movies are honestly one of the most, like one of the biggest things about our time, because within 200 years ago, they didn't have these things. And so if you think about it, 100, 200 years from now, when they find a tape and they find these movies, they're going to think of the ones that we watch now as classics. And if you go all the way back, we had films and not you know, DVDs, and we lost history. I feel like, you know, making a movie is kind of putting your own footstep into history. I don't care about my name being known, but I just want my movie out there so someone can actually check it, relate to it, and it's actually something that has done something for people in even a minor way.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like that, man. That's a very cool observation, because, yeah, it is like forever, right? You do stamp it in, and you obviously now, even, you know, it's not a disc, it's not a tape, it's not anything like that. You can be digital. So, I mean, that stuff can live forever all over the world too. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think movies are just, there's just something about them that has always attracted me, because when I was growing up and you watch a movie, you know, there's always the movies that parents would say, you know, it goes over your head. You know, I always hated it being told that as a kid, because it's like, that's not really fair. It's just not gonna be over my head, you know, like I should still be able to watch it. But like, I grew up with a very odd set base of what I could watch. I remember being 13 years old and my mother told me I couldn't watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And I was like, what? But I was 11 years old and I was watching The Walking Dead. And so it was just very, very confusing to me growing up with certain movies, because like, I remember like one of the times I got told Nightmare on Elm Street for a bedtime story when I was really young. Most people be like, what the fuck, right? See me, oh my God, Nightmare on Elm Street, my favorite movie, like one of my favorite film series. I have a poster. I'd love to meet Robert Englund. It's just so weird to me how people are, there's like the little things, you know, they grow up with, and those are things that implement in their lives the most. For me, I played most of the sports growing up, and you know, I don't anymore, but it's like just the little tiny things, movies, stories, and everything. That's the one thing that really stick with me. Now all these new people, you know, they're getting into media and everything, but for like the wrong reasons. You know, everyone who's doing like TikTok and all these things, they're like putting their name out there, but for the wrong reasons. And I just don't get how someone could put their name out there for not doing something that's actually like worthwhile. And if, to me, movies and everything for like that is 100% worthwhile, because like, I don't know, it's a personal feeling for sure, but movies to me is honestly one of the biggest things for our our generation. Because think of how much money movies make you, and how much, you know, Mercedes will pay, or like, you know, be paid to have their car in, you know, that lets them make more cars. And it's kind of crazy how movies are honestly its whole own economy, its own marketing. And it's just insane that someone made a fucking camera one day, they made it able to record, and there's literally, you know, over 100,000s of fucking movies. And I don't know, to me it's just very crazy. And that was a big tangent, but I had to say, because like, movies are probably the most obscure thing to me, because it's like a book, but like, you know, even if you take a book, it's never going to be visually correct. So any movie is, you know, taken in from somebody else, and it's always like you get to be in someone else's mind. So I always think that's great.
That is a cool way to look at it. I like that, because yeah, people can interpret books differently, but a movie is truly like, you know, it's film, it's visual, it's audio. Like you can see and hear that stuff, and you can, you know, probably almost feel it sometimes if you get really sucked in. Like definitely.
Yeah. And see, like I've never cried in a movie before. I've seen people cry. I've never, like, you know, because there's a scene and it's sad, but I've never seen the Titanic, and everyone tells me, oh my God, you watch the Titanic, you're gonna cry. It's the music. I personally, you know, I don't really get that, but like, if I were making a movie, because, you know, I see movies as my career, I don't see it as, you know, kind of like a hobby. I don't really want to make people cry for my career. So, you know, I don't see myself making, you know, romantic and like sad movies and everything, but like, so, you know, your company is called, you know, the Empathy Firm. So where did you get that from? You know, why did you want to call it the Empathy Firm?
Yeah, man. So when we started the company, we did a lot of market research before we got in. We would even sign up for like people's Facebook ads to essentially get pitched in the digital marketing space. And it sucked. We didn't have fun. There was a lot of high pressure, you know, sales stuff going on. It was, I don't know, there was just a lot of things that we didn't like about it. So because of that, we knew that we wanted to do a lot differently, but really what we took away from that whole experience in that meeting was, one, we want to sell how we want to be sold to, And two, we want to make packages that not we would or have bought ourselves, right? So those are like the two things. And really both of those things go with putting yourself in, or putting yourself in someone else's shoes and treating them with empathy. And that's kind of how we came up with that name.
I see. Yeah, no, that's actually really great, because, you know, Acidic Film Productions, you know, that's relatively a nod to, you know, my childhood indiscretions, you know, the choices I shouldn't have made, you know, we'll put it as that. But the weird thing about, like, to me is, you know, my company is like a little chunk of me, you know, it came from literally a subordinate part of my mind out of nowhere. And I just, if I hadn't had the one idea for the movie that is like my end goal, this movie is like the movie I want to be able to someday produce and make to the full extent. Because, you know, like, we had a movie that was relatively in production called The Fuck It List that we decided we are going to put it off for a year, because we could have made the movie and it would have been a relatively decent movie. But that's the thing, I'm not looking to make decent movies, I'm looking to get my shit done correctly and 100% correctly. And so with my movies, I am like, I almost feel like I'm a little too nitpicky. I wish, have you ever seen Inception before?
Yes.
Okay. So you know how in, when they're in their mind, they are building and they're building a building, right? Like an entire one. They see all the stair sets, all the floors and everything. That's how it feels when I think of a scene or anything. I literally know like what height the grass should be, you know? So I really wish I could just have clones of myself so I could run my company, because having other people do work with me or for me is very hard for me to let happen, because I hold my company very closely to me. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, there's these big companies and everything, but at one point they were a person just like anybody else who had nothing. And now they have this entire thing that is literally, I mean, it's kind of a part of them. And I think it's kind of crazy, you know, how people who don't own a business don't realize that. They see the people who own Walmart even, you know, just as like this asshole corporate dude, you know, that's not how it is. You know, he's trying to make a living. We all are. So I think it's kind of crazy how a lot of people don't realize how much a business is really part of somebody. And even like the small things, you know, like saying the empathy firm, because you want to do it in empathetic and, you know, productive way. And I don't know, to me, I just always think it's great to have yourself actually put into your brand, because, you know, like you said, your personal brand and your company brand, they should intertwine at some point.
Yeah, totally. No, absolutely right.
All right, so let's see. I have to pull up my docs in, because my I'm having to do this on phone and it's a split like a split screen thing. It's really weird, but
no worries, brother.
So if you, now this is just a, you know, personal interest question, if you could purchase one business, What business would you want to do? You know, because, you know, even if it was back in the day, you know, it's 1998 and you decided to invest in Microsoft. If you could just have one business that you got to, you know, be part of or grow or anything, what business would that be?
Yeah, bro, it'd definitely be like a SaaS service, right? Like a software as a service. Like, I think that would be cool because it was very, very low overhead. Now I don't have the coding ability or like I'm not the tech smarts to be able to create something like that. So buying it would be probably ideal, but a lot of times that's awesome because, like I said, very low overhead. Usually those are like monthly reoccurring installments. You have a few different like payment plans. And I don't know, I think to me, that's one of the cooler and most value-driven platforms that you can do, because a lot of people use that stuff every single day. I can't even tell you how many, you know, SaaS platforms I use on the day-to-day, and that stuff is so helpful. So that would be a cool one to get into.
Yeah, no, definitely. See, like the little questions like those, I don't know. I come up with those mainly just for like my personal interest, truthfully. And so we just have a couple more questions here. But so I actually saw that your brother Gavin has a podcast called Future Millionaires, I believe. Have you ever done anything with his podcast? Like, you know, just been on it and talked with him?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. And God, he started that podcast before we started the business, actually. So that one
really,
that one predates the business, actually. But you'll look on that podcast. He's had some pretty big names on there. I've never done anything with that. We kind of keep those two separate. But I am interviewing my dad in a while here, which I'm super excited for, because I, you know, grew up with him, obviously. But he was a huge influence on like the entrepreneurial factor of my life and that kind of stuff. So it'd be cool. One of my guests actually suggested that I interview my dad. I'm like, that's actually a really good idea. Like, yeah, I will do that. That'd be kind of cool. So he's going to come on and I'm pumped for that, but that's it. That's the only family that I'll be having on the podcast.
Okay. Yeah, no, definitely. My sister, Linda, one time she was like, well, if you ever need a guest, you know, just have me on. I'm like, Linda, we live in the same house. Like, this is going to be, I'm not going to have you on. Like, this is just be weird. Like, I don't know why. It just felt so odd to have a sibling ask to be a guest on my podcast. Like, you're not a guest. Like, this isn't how that works. Like, at all. Like I it'd be fun to have, you know, family and friends on, but like, it was just so weird to have a family member ask to be a guest on something of mine. That was kind of weird.
Oh, for sure, dude. Yeah, definitely strange.
Like, it was just the weirdest thing. Like, it blew my mind because it was just like, a guest. What do you mean a guest? You're my sister. Like, do you want to do this with me? So it was just, I don't know, it kind of bothered me for a second.
That's funny.
And so we just have a couple of questions, but so would you ever start a, you know, second company or business or a smaller one or anything of that? Because, you know, you have empathy for them. You know, have you ever had any other, you know, interests, like even, you know, with film production companies? Have you ever, you know, thought about pursuing acting or any other sort of line of business?
I mean, definitely, like, for sure thought about it. One of the things that we always try to make sure we're not falling victim to is shiny object syndrome, right? We don't want to be always going off in different paths, but there's definitely been things where if it makes sense, yeah, we'll go into it or we'll, you know, explore it in some aspect. And, you know, dude, I got a bunch of stuff I like to do. Like, you know, I love to be outside. I love to go, you know, to the gym. I love to do stuff like that. I like photography to an extent. I wouldn't say I'm a great photographer, but I enjoy that stuff, man. But with that too, like, it down the road, that'd be something cool. But I really, really, really am putting all of my time right now into empathy, into this, and making sure this stays focused. Dude, I'd love to do like 12 things, but you and me both know that we can't truly clone ourselves. So it's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, definitely. Cause you know, even with like me, cause my, I have a lot of friends who are, you know, actually relatively musically talented and everything. And, you know, I'm a person who would love to be able to do 12 things at once. You know, I'm the person who I fully run the company and I love it. And like, cause I don't know. I love the activity and everything, but it was like weird because we had worked with a musician and all my friends are musically talented, relatively, you know, they could play instruments. I have friends who do rap and everything. And so it was kind of weird because we were sitting there and we were thinking, it was like, what if we did, like, we started a mini label? And like, that was the thing that we almost did. We almost started just a label for our friends. And, but like, that's the thing. So there's always so many like of these little possibilities we could make work, but I can't take it on myself to actually do that, which kind of sucks because you have to see some possibilities and some opportunities go by so you can realize, you know, which the biggest ones are. Because I'd love to do all these little things and, you know, have all this different stuff, but, you know, being a film production company is kind of weird for us because we are a very small team and we're currently working, you know, on original content. You know, production company usually has someone come to them, and which people it was really weird for people to come to me with scripts and everything. Like, it happened relatively fast. I said, you know, we're a new film production company working on original content, everything, and these people came to me with scripts and books they've written, and it was the craziest thing to wake up to emails to that. And that was fucking amazing to me,
dude. That's
crazy. It was just so weird.
That's cool, man. It's nice to have those experiences, you know, because it kind of shows you like stuff that you never previously thought was possible is closer than you imagine.
Yeah. Like, it was crazy because, you know, people who, because there's so many different segments in film production, you know, you have a director, cinematographer, screenplay writer, all this and that. John Hughes wrote Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I believe it was Ferris Bueller's Day Off in 7 days, in a week. To me, that is absolutely insane because I've sat down, I've written scripts and skits and episodes and before. And to me, to write one of the most well-known and most sought after, you know, movies and actors, and you wrote that in a week, that's some of the craziest shit to me. I wish I could get to the level of John Hughes. You know, there's people sending me their work and, you know, for all I know, they didn't spend 7 days on it. They spent 2-3 years, their whole lives. If I get to be the point of a film production company rather than just a studio with a camera, and I get to be the person who decides, you know, okay, this is a project we're doing, and someone comes to me with a book or a screenplay they've been writing for 10 years, to me, that would be that would be absolutely amazing to be able to get someone to help them who've been working for 10 years on one thing and to finalize it. That would be absolutely amazing to me, because I can write all my own stories and everything, but I would love to be able to have someone else come to me and me actually be able to produce their dream. They came up with that.
Dude, it's cool seeing people win, man. It's cool helping people win. It's cool seeing your friends win. Like, we all love that stuff, right? So yeah, if you can help somebody achieve a dream of 10 plus years, which, you know, we do as well, just in different aspects, like, dude, hell yeah, that's one of the best feelings in the world. Like, it is. It's legitimately like addictive. Like, you will get be hooked on that feeling.
Yeah, you're going to constantly, because, you know, that's the thing. That's a point of success, is being able to have someone else reach it. You know, that's a little milestone. So it's definitely it's kind of weird, because, you know, you get used to it and everything. And there's actually, this is a bit of a tangent, but so, you know, dad jokes, they're not the best and everything, you know. But actually, when a dad does that, and throughout the years, his brain gets used to making the jokes for dopamine. So it's like a natural tick for him to make this dad joke, and the kids laugh, and it makes him happier. And there's actually a lot of studies about people who do business and, you know, people who are more successful. It's almost a habit to go out and do things to become successful, because it literally makes them feel, you know, good and better. So it's not even that they want to go do it. Their brain is almost, it's like, you know, when you do something for a certain amount of time, it becomes a habit. Yeah. Throughout business and everything, when they do that, your brain starts to cope, and, you know, certain chemicals, dopamine and serotonin, your body actually gets used to producing those in odd ways. It goes back to it. So I was reading this one article, there was this person who was, I don't remember what they were doing specifically, but they were consistently helping somebody. And they said, it was really weird, because I had felt, you know, extremely depressed. And just from helping people, I would wake up and the first thing my body would want to do is go and help my siblings. But my mind, that's not what my mind wanted to do. And so it's very weird to read all these articles, and people literally become mentally, you know, fixated on their companies in a way people don't understand. So, I mean, like, there's literally a nurture effect with people in their companies. And I think it's just very odd to look at the science part about the smallest things, and the fact that making a dad joke can literally start to kind of tick in your mind. And it helps you constantly create. And so I think about the way I'm able to constantly create. You know, if I, my, like this kid, Isaac, I met during Go Skate Day, because I used to be a skateboarder and I film. So there's something about going out and having somebody new, you're able to kind of access their talent. He said he was interested in filming, he never got into it. The more I consistently started helping people, the more I literally like wanted to. I had this drive to go do odd things I never thought I'd want to do. Like, as simple as literally going out and doing yard work, because it felt like I was really doing something good. And I don't know, it was a very odd tangent. But with my company, when I'm consistently doing something and I feel like, hey, I'm like sitting away at my computer and I'm constantly looking for that thing to give me that edge. There's a point where you have to learn to lay off. You know, you're not going to get that success every single time, because I've sat there, and the biggest thing in Hollywood and the biggest thing you're going to hear is no. It's no. I have heard no so many times. I'm not interested. No, we can't do this. But that's the thing, to be able to go from being told no every day to being told yes from one of the biggest people is absolutely insane. It's absolutely insane. And that was a very big tangent, but I just think it's kind of crazy how, you know, companies and everything, they're so interluded with each other and everything. But so we have, let's see, two more questions. Okay, so you said you were in the National Guard. I have a friend who was pursuing that. I was just wondering, you know, what was your interest in National Guard led from? You know, were you wanting to, you know, help someone? Were you wanting always to do service? Because, you know, when I was wanting to go in the service, it was because my family was, you know, in the service beforehand, and I felt like I wanted to go out and just do something better. You know, why did you get into the Guard?
Yeah, man, I think it was service. You know, I think in this country, we're very lucky to have a lot of the opportunities that we do. It's a amazing thing to be able to orchestrate your own freedom, right? And like have yourself be able to go out and make a company and like make money off of it and like do that. You can't do that too many places in the world. So I really appreciate a lot of the freedoms that, including myself, you know, a lot of people take for granted. So it was something with that. I had my really good, my best friend growing up, he was in, and he kind of got me into it as well. And, you know, they had some cool things. It was some decent benefits as well. And it was a way for me to serve and, you know, kind of give back to a country that gave me a lot of opportunity. So I did appreciate that. And yeah, man, that's pretty much, you know, why and how I joined, but I think my buddy probably influenced me the most, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my, I was, you know, playing, well, I wasn't fully sure of the branch I was going to go for. I was kind of headed towards the Marines and everything. And then when I had gotten past that and everything, my friend at one point, he's like, I'm joining the National Guard. And I went, what? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, when did you decide this? And he was like, yesterday. I was like, okay, like do it, dude. And like, I believe he's in the National Guard. He ended up moving away. So I believe he's doing a different state. But it was just so weird to, because we had a plan, you know, he was kind of going to college, I was going to as well. And then out of nowhere, my best friend was like, I'm going to go join, you know, the military, you know, goodbye. So that was a very just weird thing to me, but it was really weird to think that I was going to be that person. I almost like, I always wanted to join the services and I can't 100% tell you why. And it's still something I relatively honestly wish I did do, but I don't know. It was very weird to just have my friend be able to just say that to me. And I was just looking at him like, that's fucking insane, you know, because that was something I was going to do. And I wanted to join the guard with him. He was like, you should do it with me and all this. And I was like, I can't do that. That's no longer for me. But I truly honestly wish I had taken the chance on myself to be able to go into the military. And everyone tells me is like, Eli, you're too short to join the military. I'm like, that's probably true. I'm like 5'5", 5'6". So I was like, that's probably, yeah, I'm definitely not suitable for the military, but I do have to say, you know, thank you very much for your service. And I just, you know, because there was a relation towards the guard and everything, I figured I would ask.
Dude, that's sick. I appreciate that.
And so this podcast we've been trying to do for a while. So
I know. We had some scheduling issues. It wasn't on my calendar and it was on yours. I'm not sure how that happened. We had some technical issues at the beginning of this podcast, but we made it happen, dude. We made it happen.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. Honestly, it was great, you know, because if you hadn't reached out to me, you know, a while ago, you know, this never would have happened. So I'm very interested, being able to see your company grow. And, you know, I do very much hope so that we'll be able to get the chance to work together, because I wouldn't put my time or trust into someone I wouldn't know. And I truly, if I had to go through someone, I would definitely go through you guys. And, you know, the people who are listening, it's worth the money. It's worth the time. And, you know, you and all your people, I've personally looked into it. It is more than exceptional for what you're going to get. It really is. So I appreciate the fact that you actually put your time and work into everything you do and be able to give me those opportunities.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. No, dude. And I appreciate this. I appreciate you having me on, taking time out of your calendar. It was super fun. I like your format you got here. It's not like a podcast I've been on before, which I enjoy. And something you said that I just wanted to really make sure that we double down on here. And we make a huge point, because I think this is something that's so important too, is what you said earlier about success is defined by how many times you can hear no and keep going. That is what success is defined by. So every time you guys hear no, be excited, like get pumped, because that's one less no you have to hear before you hear that yes, or that few yeses, right? Every yes comes with a number of no's before it. If that's 4 no's or if that's 4,000 no's, right? It's getting you closer to that yes. So Eli, that was a fantastic point, dude.
Well, awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, being quite young, I try and be, actually have applicable taste for what I say.
I can promise you I was, how old are you, if you don't mind?
I'm only 18.
Yeah, man. I was not in that same mindset as you when I was 18, dude. I had no idea what I wanted to do. We talked about that. So you just keep doing you. You're going to be great.
That's great. Well, awesome. Thanks for having on. And this was episode 8 of Acidic Futures Podcast with Grant Lira. Check out the Empathy Firm. I believe it's on Spotify, correct? And anything you'd like to shout out right before we go?
No, man. You guys can follow me on Instagram at Grant.Lira. That's Grant.Lira. And my links to everything are up there. The Empathy Firm, all that stuff.